So if you want to make your way in that direction, and everyone else, if you would be kind enough to take your Bibles and turn with me to Matthew chapter 14. So we're in the midst of our series, Moved by Mission, and we believe that as a church, we need to be people that respond positively and consistently to the Great Commission, that which Jesus has called us to do. Matthew chapter 28, verses 19 and 20 tell us this: Go and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, and teaching them to obey everything I have commanded you. And surely I am with you always to the very end of the age. And we've been looking over the last few weeks about this whole idea of what moves us. And to be a people who are moved by mission. You know, God's desire is for His love and grace to touch people, not just here, but all around the world, and for us to be active participants in what it is that He's called us to do. And so we've talked a variety of different things about being on mission. We've talked about how the mission sets good things in motion. We've talked about how Jesus calls us to reach for higher things as we seek to live His mission. We've talked about getting in the game, not just spectating, but getting involved. Missions is also, as we talked about last week, about heart and harvest, that if you want to grow your harvest, you actually have to grow your heart. Well, today we're going to talk about ministering through. How many know in life there are some things you just have to get through? Anybody here have a week that you just had to get through? It's not always the best week, but it's the week you have to get through. If you were a kid, when we grew up, we used to sing or tell the story, you know, you can't go over it, can't go under it, can't go around it. I guess you got to go through it. And some things in life we just have to go through. And so I want to talk about that as we do mission. Sometimes what we have to do is there has to be a commitment in our heart to do mission through the difficulties that we experience. And the big idea we're going to think around is simply this, that living on mission requires resiliency. Now, growing up in Canada, we didn't always have cable. Now, when we would grow up and we'd do the Saturday morning cartoons, we got the weird old ones because that's what Canada was offering at the time. Things like Rocket Robin Hood, The Mighty Hercules, and Spider-Man, the 1967 adaptation. And so we got those old ones. And then at around noon, they would stop. And then it would go to all the sports programming. And sports programming in Canada looks a little bit different than down here. And so we would watch the sports, and so they would bring on things like darts. How many know there's no compelling Saturday without, you know, a good hour and a half of watching a dart tournament? Or they would go to that, to bowling. You could watch bowling, and some of you are like, going, that sounds good. Or you could watch curling. There's another exciting sport, followed by, you know, you'd run into all these different things. But every once in a while, they would put something on that was terribly compelling. And one of those was actually, they would do a whole, like, documentary on that year's Ironman triathlon. How many here have ever heard of the Ironman triathlon? Okay, so just so you know, it started in the late 70s in Hawaii, because there was a question: who are the most athletic? Is it the swimmers or is it the runners? And so they decided to come up with an amazing race that's called the Ironman or the triathlon. And what they did is this, is they would start the race by individuals having to swim 2.4 miles. How many think that's a good start for a race? 2.4 miles. And then once you did that, you'd come out of the water and you would jump on a bicycle. And then you would pedal for 112 miles. Not on just something flat, but you'd be going up like the mountains or the hills of Hawaii and then back down. But you went 112 miles. After you stepped off the bike, you then ran 26.2 miles, or you ran a marathon after that. How many here would like to do the Ironman? I would rather go to the movies and watch it than, but you talk about a race, and I got to tell you, it's a pretty compelling. So, like, altogether, they are traveling in this race over 140 miles. So to give you kind of a sense of what they're doing, and just by the way, there's a time limit that after 16 or 17 hours, it's just done. And so if you don't get done within the time limit, they just stop the race and you're just done. But they give you 16 to 17 hours. Now, 140 miles, or just over 140 miles, to give you a sense, is if you drove from Syracuse to Buffalo, that's 150 miles. How many of you on a given Saturday would say, hey, let's go to Buffalo from Syracuse, and then you decided you would swim 2.4 miles, you would bike 112 of it, and then run 26.2. You're like going, oh my goodness. And what's really interesting is, you know, you would think this is going to take all day. All right, the world record for doing this race. Anybody want to know what the world record is for completing the triathlon? 7 hours, 21 minutes, and 12 seconds. Okay, how many of you are like going, I don't even know that I could drive it. In that time, you're like going, there's enough stops along the way. But it's interesting because the race isn't just for the fast. Actually, much of the race isn't to see who wins, though there's always a winner. The goal is actually just to finish it. And different people from different backgrounds choose to enter this race. So a number of years ago, there was a father-son team that decided to compete in this race. And that is Dick and Rick Hoyt. The son had cerebral palsy, and so he couldn't compete, but his dad and him, they actually began to do all these different races together and stuff like that. And so they decided that they would compete in this together, and so the father put his son in a little, like, kayak and swam 2.4 miles, and then he picked him up out of the kayak, and then he put him on a carrier on the front of a bicycle, and then pedaled 112 miles, and then after that, picked him up out of the carrier and then put him in a wheelchair and ran 26.2 miles and got it all done before the race was over. How many think that's pretty impressive? Right? And you're like going, oh my goodness. Oh, and just so you know, it's not just for the young. Okay, so this is crazy. The oldest woman who has competed and completed this race, the oldest, her name is Natalie Grallo. She completed it at 80 years old. Okay, my mom turns 80, and I'm going to recommend to her, try, go ahead, Mom, you can do it. You know, it's possible. And by the way, this lady, she learned to swim at the age of 59. Okay, now the oldest competitor. See, this is great because it's not just for the young, but the oldest was 85 years. His name was Hiromo Inada. He was aged 85 years, 328 days old. And he completed 2.4 miles of swimming, 112 miles worth of biking, and 26.2 miles of running. And Pat, I would be dead too. As I heard you. Hey, I may be old, but the ears are still good. But it's pretty amazing, isn't it? Like, so this is the Ironman, and I loved it because we would stop and we would watch this on, because they would show it once or twice a year. They would just do this recap of this race. And so you'd always see the ones who you know, who were like the fast and got through. But within this race, the mentality was, it wasn't just about being the fastest. It was about finishing. It was about learning to run through. It was a race that required so much more than just physical endurance. It actually required mental resiliency. Like, you had to develop a strength to compete. And I know many of us, we look at that and go, there ain't no way that I could do this. But I'm convinced we actually have far more potential in us than we realize. That many times in our own lives, we look at our own selves and where we're at and what we're going through and say, that could never be me. I couldn't do that. But this is what I believe. I believe that Jesus sees potential in us. Now, it may not be that he calls us to run this Ironman race. But I believe that Jesus sees in each one of us something far greater than we even see in ourselves. So that we can make a difference in our world. And for that to happen, it actually requires resiliency. Resiliency is really just this. It is the capacity to withstand or to recover from difficulties. Now, I know we're all familiar with difficulties, and sometimes we hit difficulties, and all of a sudden difficulties become the reason that we stop. But the reality is that sometimes God brings difficulty in our life because what he's trying to do is grow us and develop us. It says this over in James chapter 1. It says, consider it pure joy when you face trials of many kinds. How many of you, when you run into a trial, a difficulty, you're like going, thank you, Jesus. But James is right. Listen, consider it pure joy when you suffer trials of many kinds, for you know the testing of your faith develops perseverance. Perseverance must complete its work in you that you may be mature and complete, not lacking anything. That sometimes God brings us to these challenges because there's something he's trying to grow in us. He's trying to develop a strength in us that is bigger than the circumstances that we are in. And living on mission, I want you to know, is challenging. And not only is life hard, but doing the mission is hard. And if we're not careful, sometimes the difficulty of life, we will say, you know what? The mission's not for me. But sometimes it's because, or it's through the difficulty, that God says, what I want to do is I want to bring you to a greater place. I want to grow something in you. I want to help you become the person that I created you for. And so what we're going to do is we're going to look in Matthew chapter 14, and we're going to read the story, some stories that are found in verses 13 through 24. And in some ways, it's like a biblical triathlon, because Jesus is with his disciples, and on this given day, they're confronted by three significant challenges. That Jesus is actually going to, you know, bring them through three very difficult challenges. And so I want to read the text, and then we'll kind of walk through this, okay? So we're going to begin at verse 13, and it says this, when Jesus heard what had happened, he withdrew by boat privately to a solitary place. And we'll see this in a moment, that John the Baptist is going to be executed. Not because of something wrong that he had done, but because of an offense that somebody had in their heart because of what God was speaking through him. Hearing of this, that Jesus had withdrawn from the place that he was, the crowds followed him on foot from the towns. And when Jesus landed and saw a large crowd, he had compassion on them and he healed their sick. As evening approached, the disciples came to him and said, this is a remote place, and it's already getting late. Send the crowds away so they can go to the villages and buy themselves some food. And Jesus replied, they do not need to go away. You give them something to eat. We have here only 5 loaves of bread and 2 fish, they answered. Bring them here to me, he said. And he directed the people to sit down on the grass, and taking the 5 loaves and the 2 fish, he looked up to heaven, and he gave thanks, and he broke the loaves. Then he gave them to the disciples, and the disciples gave them to the people. They all ate and were satisfied. And the disciples picked up 12 basketfuls of broken pieces that were left over. The number of those who ate was about 5,000 men, besides women and children. And how many know the women and children always eat more than the men? That was a joke. That's not in the Bible. Verse 22. Immediately, Jesus made the disciples get into the boat and go on ahead of him to the other side while he dismissed the crowds. And after he had dismissed them, he went up on a mountainside by himself to pray. And later that night, he was there alone. And the boat was already a considerable distance from the land, buffeted by the waves, because the wind was against it. Okay, so this is a big day, shall we say. It's a day filled with challenge and adversity. Now, the things that I want to note from this passage real quickly are this. Number one, living on mission is not always an easy road. How many of you, when you travel, You like the easy road, right? Like you like it when, you know, the weather's good. How many know that you can choose some days to travel when the weather's better than others? You know, sometimes it's not only just ideal weather, but getting good gas mileage. Whether it's a smooth road, right? The good road is something that's smooth. It's comfortable conditions, and there are plenty of places for pit stops along the way. How many, when you plan your trips now, you plan pit stops, right? You're just like, okay, this is the way it goes, because you're like, you're looking for the best road. But some roads, sometimes, they can be incredibly tiring and exhausting. Sometimes the weather is awful. Sometimes there's limited visibility. The roads can be rough, and there can be few places to stop. And the road isn't always easy. And this is the thing that we have to remember as we follow Jesus, is that sometimes the road is not always easy. And when we seek to live on mission, we often experience challenges. Sometimes as we seek to live on mission, all of a sudden the roads, in a sense, the conditions of the road begin to change. All of a sudden we receive a report. How many of you have ever had those moments where all of a sudden you got the report of something that came out of nowhere and it just threw your day? Like it could be a moment where all of a sudden you get that phone call. It could be from a doctor, and all of a sudden you get a report about a diagnosis or an appointment that you were at, and all of a sudden that report just changes you. Or maybe you go to the mailbox and you open up the mail and there's something there addressed from the IRS, and you're like going, oh. And you begin to feel it. The report comes, and all of a sudden, it's just like going, wait, the things I was thinking about are all of a sudden interrupted by what's going on. And this is what happens to Jesus and the disciples. Because all of a sudden, as they're going about their thing, you know, just doing the ministry of the kingdom, they receive a report that John the Baptist has been executed, that he has been beheaded simply because, you know, he was preaching God's message, and the king or the ruler of Judea didn't like it. And so he ends up getting executed. John the Baptist was Jesus' cousin. On top of that, some of the disciples that walked with Jesus had previously walked with John the Baptist. And so you could just imagine getting the report that all of a sudden John the Baptist is dead. They killed him simply because he was preaching. And what are these guys doing? They're preaching. What is their message? You'll find out if you read. It's pretty much the same thing that John the Baptist was saying. And so it says that Jesus withdrew, because we all know what it's like to get that report, and all of a sudden grief is something that we have to deal with. How many know grief is a beast to walk through? It is not easy. And so all of a sudden, Jesus is like, guys, we just need to step away. And as they step out from one place, they're like, we'll just go to the other side. We're going to create some space for ourselves. But all of a sudden, the crowd sees and they start moving over. And now they got to deal with people. How many know people can be a challenge? And it's not just people. These are problemed people. Because there's sickness, and there's an expectation that Jesus and the disciples are going to do something for them. And so they're ministering all day. They've heard the report, and they're trying to process their grief. But the crowds and the people, it's like going, oh my goodness, this is exhausting. And the disciples are at the point where like going, okay, we've allowed them to be here long enough. It's time to send them away. Anybody here, you've been like that host where it's like going, okay, I wasn't expecting this company. They came. And now it's just time for them to go. And all of a sudden you're like, you know, it was great to have you here. It was good to see you. And you start moving toward the door because you're trying to say, hey, it's time for everybody to exit. And the disciples are doing the same thing. And they're like going, hey, Jesus, starting to get late. Let's send the people away. And then Jesus looks at the disciples and say, they don't need to go away. You give them something to eat. Now, when the story starts, we know it's a crowd, but we don't know the size of the crowd, and we get to the end, and we find out there's 5,000 men, plus women and children, and we're like going, oh my goodness, go feed who? And Jesus is like, I want you to feed them. And all of a sudden, now it's not just a people problem, now it's a resource problem. Because they're like, all we got is 5 loaves and 2 fish. Like, that's all we have. We just have a little bit. And Jesus is like, okay, bring them to me. And then we remember that he prays for them and he feeds them. And what's so amazing, this miracle was so impressed on the disciples' heart that actually in all of the Gospels, this is the only miracle outside the resurrection of Jesus from the dead that is account or recounted in each of the Gospels. That something like this was a remarkable event for them, but it started out as there was grief, and then a people problem, and then a resource problem, and then Jesus is like, okay, guys, you can make your graceful exit, so get in the boat, go to the other side, I'll meet you over there in a little bit. And he puts them in the boat, and now they get to deal with another storm. How many think this is just one long day? Having to deal with grief, having to deal with people, having to deal with resources, and now the weather's against me. And I love how it says that they were buffeted by the waves because the wind was against them. And it's interesting that Jesus is leading them each step of the way. Now, the good news is this, is not every single day is challenged, but there are times, there are moments in life where God ordains for us to go through difficult days. And we need to understand that living on mission is not always an easy road. And there are many times we want to look at the conditions and the report, the people problem, the resource challenge, the winds against us. And we say, you know what, this is a reason to step back. And sometimes Jesus is saying, actually, I'm bringing you to this point because there's something I'm trying to develop in you. There's something I want to grow in you in the midst of the challenges. You see, what Jesus is doing here is he is challenging his followers to, in order to grow them. In this account, the overwork condition is actually a mission of conditioning, helping develop resiliency in them. You see, Jesus uses the challenges to grow his disciples. And so in and through it, he teaches them a variety of lessons. And we don't have time to go through all of them, but I'll give you a couple ideas of the lessons that he's teaching them. He's teaching them to learn to serve not out of their sufficiency, but his. Sometimes we don't have what it takes to do the mission. Sometimes we don't have the energy, but it's not about what we have. Do we have enough to do all of this? The question is, will we be faithful with what it is that we have? You see, faith allows us to begin to tap into heaven's abundance. We just have to begin with what we have. Another lesson he teaches is that we have to learn to serve through the finish. Learning to serve through the finish, not just to the event, but beyond the event. So Jesus not only makes his disciples like feed thousands, did you hear the last part of it? Where he says, and then the disciples picked up 12 basketfuls of food, leftovers. They had to pick them up. Now, I got to tell you, we got some amazing people at Asbury Church. And again, we saw this Friday. It was Friday, right? Oh, good Lord, it was Friday. It fell. Okay, you talk about a long, exhausting week. Like, Pastor Dwayne and I were looking at our schedules and like, oh my goodness, we had stuff like Monday night, Tuesday night, and some of it was planned, some of it not planned, and all this stuff. And then, bless the Lord, the wisdom of Jesus fell upon Levita, and she was like, let's move it from outside to inside. And we said, bless the Lord, oh my soul, because then we didn't have to deal with all the wind and rain and stuff like that. And so, I know you guys went over around noonish, before noonish. I got there shortly after noonish, and we began to serve all day, standing, and it wasn't just us. Yeah, I know Don was there. Don was doing an amazing job getting soaked. We had the Crest family and all this work going into it, and we had 1,000-plus people come through, all these kids, and all of a sudden, you're waiting, like, okay, is the last person coming through, and Dwayne's running back and forth taking candy to make sure people have candy to give to kids. It's this wonderful experience. And then finally, the last person walks through the line. And you're like, oh, that's the last one. And then you're like, and now we get to clean it all up. Because how many know the event isn't done with the last person? When the last person leaves, the event is done when everything gets cleaned up. And you know, it's kind of interesting because Jesus is teaching his followers, hey, guess what? We don't just serve to the end of the event, we serve through the end of the event. And it's a really big lesson he's teaching because part of resiliency is actually going beyond, you know, just timelines and deadlines. Not only that, he teaches them to move in obedience even through the storms. That he teaches, and we'll talk about that in just a moment, but Jesus is trying to teach us something in the challenge, and I want you to know that God wastes nothing in our lives, even the difficulties that we face. So we see living on mission, it requires resiliency, that the road isn't always easy, and that what God is doing, what Jesus is doing in the midst of it, is he's trying to help us, to strengthen us, to give us endurance and capacity and resiliency so we can serve into his purpose. Again, one of the biggest challenges is all of a sudden we get it in our mind, there's no way I can do this. I bring up the Iron Man, and how many of you quickly said, yeah, that's not me. And then I said, yeah, but there were 80-year-olds doing it. And you're like, yeah, that's still not me. I couldn't do that. Did you know that many times in our own lives, we begin to put limitations upon us that keep us from actually stepping into that which God has called us to? And this brings me to my third idea, is that resiliency actually prepares us to see the remarkable. Like resiliency, when you actually get past your own self-limitations, that what it does is it will open up doors and avenues for you to experience things that you didn't believe that you could be a part of. Just imagine with me for a moment, what would happen if, as the difficulty came, that they get the report, they said, you know what, that's it, we're just done, we're just gonna end our day here. And they stepped off the course. You know what they would have missed out on? Is the fact that, you know what, that there are people whose lives ended up being touched and changed by the gospel of Jesus Christ. Because of his love and his power, there were people who were broken, who were healed. The disciples got to see lives transformed before them because they went even beyond the challenge of their own limitation. What about if they would have stopped after they said, you know what, hey, Jesus, like, hey, guys, feed these people. And they're like going, yeah, oh, I'd love to do it, but this is all we have. 5 loaves, 2 fish. You know, hey, just. It's time just to step off the course now. You know what they would have missed out on? Watching bread and fish multiply in their hands. Like they would have missed out on seeing supernatural provision take place in their life because they said, you know what, this is my stop point. What if it was after that, they're like, you know, Jesus is like, hey guys, I need you to get in the boat and go to the other side. And they're like going, yeah, you know what, it's been a long day, we've got a report, we've just fed all these people, we've cleaned up their mess. And Jesus is like, now I want you to take the boat to the other side. How many know taking the boat across the lake without a motor is a little tiring? We'll just get to that one later. Well, we'll get to that one later. And then all of a sudden, if they wouldn't have gone, you know what they would have missed out on? If you read the story in Matthew 14, you'll find out this is the time where Peter walks on the water. And see, I'm convinced that sometimes that if we will just be resilient, we will not only see lives change and see the miraculous, but we will also walk in places we never imagined. And see, resiliency actually prepares us to see the remarkable. So I come back to this idea, living on mission requires resiliency. So how do you do it? How do you develop resiliency? Because I know in this room, there's a lot of people that are going through stuff. Like you're going through difficulty and challenge. You're like going, a rough day, it's been a rough week, month, year, maybe decade. And you're just like, I am tired, I am done. And Jesus wants me to live on mission. What? I don't have anything to give. Here, can I just tell you how we begin to develop resiliency in the midst of life's difficulty? The first thing is simply this, stay close to Jesus. The way you actually develop resiliency is actually by staying close to Him. He is the one who is our hope, our peace, our strength. It was Jesus who said, as He was commissioning His disciples, "Go and make disciples of all nations." He ends it by saying, "And surely I am with you always." And what we have to do is we actually have to choose to be near Jesus, to stay close to Him, to find strength in His presence. So I remember a number of years ago, after Hurricane Katrina, there were a bunch of us who decided that we would help by doing roofs for churches down in, Alabama, and then I think we went into, what's the next one over for Alabama?
Louisiana.
Mississippi. We went Mississippi, and then it goes to Louisiana. We were in Mississippi. We did work in Mississippi and Alabama, which was doing roofs in October. And you would think around here, October, it's like it gets a little chilly, it gets nice. We did a roof here, and it was like great weather. Okay, in Alabama, we're talking, it was still 80-plus degrees and high humidity, and then you go up on a roof. And so we ended up doing roofs for 5 days. And in preparation for the, for doing the roofs, we took a 24-hour bus ride down. How many think that just sets you up for victory? There's some things that just set you up for a good time. Taking a bus down. It was an old bus, and I just remember the guy sitting next to me, good man. He was probably close to twice my size, and when he would sleep, he would lean in my direction. And I was up against the window, and already have some claustrophobic issues, and he kept doing this next to me, and I'm like, oh, Jesus. And so we did 24 hours of that, and then we were up on hot roofs, and then at the end of it, they told us, hey, don't drink the water, because the power had gone down, there was all the flooding and stuff like that, and so the people who we were coming to serve were so gracious, they provided us bottles of water, and they put them in ice that they had frozen from their taps, and they put all the water in, and so the water was contaminated that our bottles were sitting in, and so as we opened them and put them up to our lips, 2/3 of the team got Giardia, which is beaver fever. Makes your belly really awful. Day 3.5 in, I'm coming off the roof, and I got to tell you, I was done. And I was like, Jesus, I did my part. I am tired. I am cooked. I am done. And so what I would do is when we got break time, I'd come in out of the sun. I would go down into the sanctuary, and I would lay on the floor in front of the altar. I take off my shoes, peel off my socks, and put my feet up on the altar and just lay there saying, Jesus, you need to restore something in this being. And I remember as I was laying there, I was having a bad attitude. Anybody here have bad attitudes or just me? Get a little cranky. I was laying there and I was like, Jesus, I am done. Like, I've worked hard. I've done all these things and I just... And I remember just laying there because my heart really was, I felt God, hey, I've given you talents, abilities, here's an opportunity, can you just go serve? And I was like, okay, I'll go do it. And I remember as I was laying there on the floor, I was just like going, you know what? I know I'm tired, I'm exhausted. And there was a piano that was up on the stage, and so I got up off the floor and I said, you know what, I'm just gonna play the piano for a few minutes. And I got up to the piano and I just started praising Jesus. And I got to tell you, something happened on day 3.5 in a sanctuary as I was just sitting at the piano and just choosing to sing. I remember the song I sang was How Great Is Our God. And being reminded, you know what? I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me, because it's ultimately not about my stuff, it's about His. Because see, this is the thing you have to understand. It's not that we have to have enough for everything. What we have to do is just bring Him what we have. Because 5 loaves and 2 fish go much further than you can ever imagine or dream. He's not looking for you to feed the 5,000 yourself in your own strength, in your own ability, your own resource. He just says, hey, will you just take what you have and begin to serve? And when you begin to draw close to Jesus, all of a sudden you begin to find out there is a strength and a grace for the season to help grow you. You see, if we're going to be resilient, we actually have to stay close to Jesus. And not only that, we need to allow him to stretch us. And that's learning to say yes to the challenge. Not limiting ourselves to what is convenient and comfortable, but really listening to what it is that he's calling you to and to be obedient to that call. I want to invite the worship team to come up just as we get ready to close. In order to minister through, we stay close to Jesus, we allow him to stretch us. But we also have to learn to keep moving. Keep moving. I want you to know there is power in taking the next step. How many have ever heard the phrase, a journey of 1,000 miles begins with a single step? Like the journey of a triathlon, right? 2.4 miles swimming, 112 miles biking, 26.2 miles running. Okay, to try and do all of that in just, I'm going to go do all of that. Many of you, you're just overwhelmed by just the enormity of it. You're like going, dude, I won't even get off the couch for that one. But all you got to do is you actually begin to do that. It requires you to actually take one step. You don't have to take all the steps. You just begin to take that one step. And when all of a sudden you're like going, you know what, I am tired, I can't do the next thing. All you got to say is, you know, I don't have to finish this right now. I just have to take the next step. The next good step, the next step that God is calling me to. This is actually how you develop resiliency in following Jesus. You learn to take the next step. No matter how you feel, no matter the conditions, like going, okay, you know what I need to choose to do? Just take the next good step. I don't have to complete the course in my next step. I just need to take the next step. And resiliency is just the courage. It's the determination to take the next step. Again, the journey of 1,000 miles begins with a single step. But did you also know that the completion of a journey begins with a single step? Sometimes what we end up doing is we step out of the course because we lose sight of the finish line and we're just like, I can't take the next step. And how do you know that the next step is not the next step until God does something remarkable? You see, with small steps, you never know which one is going to be the breakthrough. But you keep doing the small step. And this is how we develop resiliency. Living on mission requires resiliency. We stay close to Jesus. We allow him to stretch us. And we keep moving. And we keep moving until ultimately we finish. See, we have to choose to be finishers. And again, even with the Ironman, it's not about who finishes first. It's really about, hey, it's about finishing. Even if you have to limp across the finish line, and if you've ever watched these documentaries on the Ironman, it's amazing to watch how people get across the finish line. There are some people, they'll go through the 2.4 mile swimming, the 112 mile biking. They will have run like 26.19 miles or 26.19 miles. Yeah, they're almost at the finish line. And their legs are jelly, and you'll watch, people will like wipe out like just 100 yards from the finish line. And you'll watch something arise in them that says, you know what, I'm going to finish this thing. And they push themselves up, and they take a couple more steps, and they may fall down again, but they'll get up. Sometimes other runners will come alongside them, and they'll help them up, and they'll keep running, because the goal is to finish. It may be that you're in the midst of a difficult season. And I would challenge you. God will use these things to grow you. Stay close to Jesus. Allow him to stretch you. Keep moving. And not only that, be a finisher. Keep going. He will bring you through. So as we close, this is what I know. So whenever I preach messages like this,
people are like going, you want me to do what? I already came to church tired, and I had an extra hour of sleep. And you want me to do what? Keep going, take another step? I can't do it. So I'll go back to the thing that I said earlier. What we need to do is we need to stay close to Jesus. This is what Jesus says. I love this. He says, come to me, all who are weary and burdened, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon me. Learn from me, for I am gentle and humble in heart. And then he says this, and you will find rest for your soul. Can I tell you, there's a rest that your soul can experience even though the race ain't done yet. Even though you're not through that thing that God has called you to, and you're just like, oh my goodness, how do I make it through? I want you to know we just keep coming to Jesus, and he will give us the grace to meet us, and our soul can be at rest, even though our bodies are tired. And then we can just take the next step. And if we're tired again, we just come back and say, God, I just need your grace, and then we get to take the next step. He just wants to remind us, hey, listen, I know what I've called you to. I know the mission is something that will stretch and challenge you. But I want you to know there's grace for every step. And it's our opportunity. And so maybe you're here this morning and you're just like going, you know what? It's been a hard day. It's been a hard week. It's been hard. And I just need grace to meet me. Again, Jesus says, come to me, all who are weary. He's the one that says, I am with you always. I want you to know that he's here in this place, and he loves to meet us and help us. And so this is how we're going to close. The worship team is going to lead us. And we're going to invite you. Maybe you're just like going, I'm just tired, and I just need someone to pray with me. I'd love to pray with you this morning. Maybe there's someone here, and you're just like going, hey, the person next to me, we're going through it together. Maybe grab their hand and say, hey, let's just pray together. God, would you give us strength in this moment? Because God is here to help us. To help us be a people that are resilient, that we can keep moving and walking in the direction of his purpose. Even though we can have some rough days. And God is good and he is faithful. So Lord, we just bow our heads before you. And we bring you our hearts. God, you see where each one is at in this room. Lord, you see the weariness of heart, of body, of soul. Lord, we recognize and we understand the road isn't easy. Serving on mission isn't always easy. And God, sometimes we just get, Lord, we're just tired. But Lord, I thank you that we can just simply bring you what we have. And that you bless it and you take it and you use it. And Lord, you allow us to go far farther than we ever imagined or dreamed. And so, Lord, even in this moment, we just come to you and we ask that your Spirit would help us. That you would be our strength. And just while your heads are bowed and your eyes are closed, how many would just simply say, you know what? Man, I'm in that place where I'm just really tired and I need his grace to meet me. If that's you, would you just raise your hand? I want to pray with you. See those hands. Is there anyone else? Father, you see these hands. You see these hearts. And God, I just speak blessing upon them right now, Lord, even as they acknowledge their need. God, I pray that you would begin to meet them with your love and your grace. I thank you that you're here and that you carry our burdens. And Lord, we look to you and we trust you. In Jesus' name.